This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Grant and Danny on the Fan Movie Club went long, so we are late for our buddy Albert Breer of the MMQB and SI, so let's get right to him right now. Breer joining us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline to go around the NFL. Albert, yesterday Ross Tucker told us he's not sure that Cam Newton's even going to start for the Patriots. He said you just never know with Bill Belichick. Is that crazy to you, or do you think there's a chance Stidham still gets the call in week one?
No, I mean, I think there's definitely, you know, still a chance. They're not going to hand the job to Cam Newton, sight unseen, you know, and so I think there's going to be real competition, and they do like Jared Stidham. And, you know, I think the way that they look at this is, you know, one or two things happen. Either, you know, Jared Stidham, you know, needs more development, more time to develop, and he'll get that because Cam Newton wins the job, or Jared Stidham just is off the charts in, you know, in August. And, I mean, what better confidence boost then would you get than beating out Cam Newton to be the starting quarterback? So I don't think it's likely. I think Cam Newton's likely the week one starter for the Patriots, but I don't think that the Patriots are handing Cam Newton the job.
Albert, if you could buy stock in players, I'd be like Randolph and Mortimer Duke trying to corner the orange market with Tua Tagovailoa. I'm a Tua guy. I think he's going to be a star. Health is the only question. When do we see him? And just kind of give me a timeline that you're thinking.
I think it's going to be hard for any rookie quarterback who isn't basically positioned as a starter going into camp to win a starting quarterback job. The Bengals are, I mean, look, guys, I think Zach Taylor is going to name Joe Burrow. He hasn't officially done it. I think he's going to name Joe Burrow the starting quarterback on day one of camp. And the reason why he's going to do that is because they only have 16 padded practices. They don't have any spring. And they need to start building towards week one, and they need to start building an offensive identity. And the first piece of doing that is putting your starting quarterback in place. With those being the conditions, if you're a rookie coming in and you know that they've got to make a decision pretty quickly because there's less practice time than there's ever been before leading into the season, you know, you're going to have to be pretty impressive very, very fast. And so, you know, I think for, you know, both Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert in L.A., you know, they're going to have to win the job in a matter of like 10 days. And so that's why I think it's probably most likely that Tua winds up sitting at the start of the season. And the other reason why will be to probably be starting two rookie tackles. That's another reason to sort of, you know, take it a little slower with Tua. But I do think that before the end of the season, Tua will be in there and playing. Because I do think that, you know, the flip side of all of this is a kid who went into Alabama and basically unseated, you know, an incumbent starter as a true freshman. So I think he'll be ready. I think it just sort of comes down to time and really the amount of time that that all of this over the last few months has robbed him of showing what he can do to the Dolphins coaches.
Albert, I was looking at your mailbag today where you take a bunch of questions from your readers. One of them was about Jimmy Garoppolo and whether or not this is a make-or-break season. And I've heard that from a lot of national pundits, you know, that he's got a lot to prove this year. I mean, look, I know that he didn't have an exceptional Super Bowl and that team is better maybe than he is. But he had 27 touchdowns, 13 picks, and about 4,000 yards, rating over 100 last year. How much does he actually have to prove? I mean, haven't we found out that he's a pretty good quarterback?
Well, he doesn't have that much. I would tell you this. I mean, I think it would take a pretty special opportunity landing in the Niners' laps for them to consider moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo, especially considering that they haven't been a pretty affordable rate for the next few years, what's become a very affordable rate. And so, you know, I can't predict who's going to be available in 2021, you know, free agency-wise, or, you know, what might happen with some quarterback coming available somewhere else. I do know this. It's very unlikely that the Niners are going to be drafting very high, so you can sort of take that off of the table. You know, and the only real reason that the Niners even discussed it this year is because the greatest quarterback of all time became available, and there were some connections within the organization to him where, you know, word got to them that if, you know, if the Niners wanted him, he'd sign there. And so, you know, I think what we saw this offseason was sort of a confluence of the flexibility in Garoppolo's contract and then the availability of Tom Brady. But I know that the Niners went back and they drilled it hard. Like John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan went back and watched Jimmy Garoppolo's tape again. And they moved forward with the conclusion that the best thing to do was to go forward with Jimmy Garoppolo. So if they're picking Garoppolo over Tom Brady, and that sort of can tell, that sort of is a good explainer in what it would take for them to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo.
Speaking of moving on, what are the Jets going to do with Jamal Adams?
I think he's in their starting lineup week one. I don't know who out there is going to fork over a market shifting contract and a ton of draft capital. And if you're the Jets, you got them under contract for the next 2 years. And why would it make sense to move him for anything less than, I mean, maybe something on a level like Laremy Tunsil brought the Dolphins, or that, Minkah Fitzpatrick brought the Dolphins, or Jalen Ramsey brought the Jaguars. I mean, I don't know that you would move on for Jamal Adams for anything less than that. And so at that point, you're either asking the team to the other team in the equation to give up big draft capital plus a market shifting contract, or big draft capital and then go forward with Jamal Adams in an uncertain contract situation. So, I mean, to me, I don't know where you find the other suitor. I also don't know why Joe Douglas is the GM, like his first major contract negotiation. I think he's pretty aware of the fact that it might not be a great look for him to be buckling to a player's demands, when a player pulls something like this. So I don't know. I think you add the whole thing up, and I think it's very, very unlikely that he's anywhere but New York at the start of the season.
Albert, sorry we were late getting to you, buddy. Appreciate the insight, as always. Good hopping around the league with you, and thanks.
Thanks, Albert.
Anytime, fellas.
There's Albert Breer on Grant and Danny with a lot of strong content from the big stories around the NFL. Sean Kelly, the former national, on how players are going to be viewed in the clubhouse that don't play this year, coming up at the bottom of the hour at 1:30 right here on the Fan. If there is a better smell than freshly baked brownies, I do not know what it is. The wife cooking some brownies during the show today, and I'm just going to tell you, I started smelling them about 12:25, and about an hour ago to now, the amount of hunger your boy has, I've gone from, I could eat something, to just feeling
ravenous.
Like I haven't eaten in 2 months.
Carl,
I would eat
ravenous.
The couch 10 feet away from me right now. Is there a better smell on the planet? Like, let's think about that. Best smell.
Here we go.
I'm thinking.
I got a list.
Freshly baked brownies is on mine. I'm going to go with gasoline, weirdly enough. I love the smell of gasoline.
Okay.
I'm going to go with freshly cut grass. Love that smell. I mean, I could just do all foods, but that's kind of boring. I'll go with.
All foods.
Yeah. I guess my last one would be, you know, I already went brownies, but I'll go cookies, a little bit different, but that baked smell. Maybe I'll think of something else. What do you got?
Well, chocolate chip cookies, because other cookies are a waste of time and energy. You could have just made chocolate chip cookies. But banana bread is one. I think that smell is just spectacular. It is the combination both of bread and then sort of the nice ripe banana that's in there. I don't know why that smells so good, but it does. I would hook up with anything that smelled like that. I want that scent on people. I want that scent all over the place all the time. It's amazing. Brownies is excellent, as you correctly stated. Really, any fresh bread, any kind of breaded product that's of or pertaining to bread while being made smells intoxicating. It's pheromones. It's arousing. It's appetite-inducing. It's just so perfect. So one of the gifts we got years ago, Jeeps, this is why I had to get an operation way less, was we got my dad a bread maker. One of those things like you do it at home and you buy the kits.
Oh, I know
and
all about
things.
They're like a big, blocky square that you have to put away because they take up all your counter space.
And you do it overnight and you can have, you know, it needs the bread.
It
Not like I
so
need the
long,
bread.
Though.
Yeah, but that was the move. Is like one of the last things he would do before he would go to bed at like 8:30 is he, like at 8:26, he's just finishing up. This will be the sourdough. It'll be ready tomorrow morning in time for toast. And you would get that fresh baked bread smell waking you up. It pummels Folgers in your cup. It's the fresh baked bread smell. And you arise to that, you cut yourself a big old thick slice. And if you want to toast it, you can. You don't even need to because it's hot and fresh right out the kitchen, R. Kelly style. And it was so amazing. And we would eat like a loaf per day as a family, which is why we have giant buttockses and hefty midsections.
All right, so I put my list together for you when you're ready.
I'm ready. Go.
I got my top five here. So I'm actually going to start at number five with the smell of, you know, it's a weird thing to say, but I like the smell. Gasoline. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like burning fuel. It's just a good smell.
You like to set fires with it too? What are you talking about there?
No, not really an arsonist or anything like that, but just I like the smell of gasoline. That's number five. Number four, I'm going to go with the smell of a brand new car. Are you familiar?
Yeah, the new car smell. Sure.
That new car smell is just the best. Number three, I'm going to go with the smell of grass when it just got cut. That's number three. Number two, I'm going to go with the smell of puppy breath. You familiar with puppy breath?
Yeah.
It's number two smell. It's a great smell.
Wow.
Number one, I've got three foods here for you. Cookies, brownies, and bacon. I just linked all my foods in there together.
Right there together. I get that.
Is there anything else we're forgetting? What about, you were talking the other day about how you had to clean your washer because the clothes coming out of the dryer.
Yeah, that smell is great.
No, not that one. But what I'm saying is when you get, after you fixed your laundry and now you get that laundered smell with your shirt fresh out of the dryer, that's a great smell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the nice with the fabric softener and it's like that fresh scent. You know, it's like, I'm outside. It's spring. That's a good one. Let me throw a couple at you.
Bonfire
fireplace.
Smell?
Yeah, I'm thinking like fireplace, but burning wood is a really pleasant smell. Not if it's
you were
like,
just
not
calling
like,
me an arsonist, and now you're going with burning wood. I like that. Welcome to my team.
Well, you're talking about gasoline. The actual smell of gasoline, they odor it that way, and it's actually a bad smell because gasoline itself is smellless. They put that in there to let you know that it's dangerous and toxic.
A lot of people like that smell, though, whether they'll admit it or not. Like cutting your grass and you crank, the mower cranks up and you smell that. It's kind of good. Anyway, what else you got?
Cinnamon buns.
Oh,
a cake.
That's good.
A cake being baked. So again, you see where my mind is on this. It's like are you making carbohydrates in the oven? Then I want to smell you. That's pretty much my deal there. I'm gonna throw this one at you. You're not gonna agree with me on this at all. But I want you to know that it's a great smell. Coconuts, I think, are just a pedestrian fruit. I think they're weird and awkward. They're tough to get to, and you got to like toast it to put it in something. You're not just going to like sit there and gnaw at a coconut. It's not that good. But the coconut smell is just freshness personified. I'm on an island, dude. Coconut smell is a great smell.
Coconut guy.
Yeah, I'm not either. Again, it's a dumb fruit, but it's a good smell. Fresh brewed coffee is an amazing smell.
Not me. I got one for you. How about, and I don't know how to describe this other than you open up a book, and maybe you've never opened it before, and like the pages have this distinct smell, like a new book
smell
fair
of a
smell.
Book.
It takes me back to buying a book at the book fair when I was a little kid. Like, and smell, I think, is more nostalgic than almost any other sense that we have. I don't know if that's factually backed up or scientifically true, But okay. I can smell something and I'll be reminded of 20 years ago, or I'll smell something and be right back somewhere.
Well, the scent. What's the word I'm looking for? The sense that's most tied to memory is smell.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that is 100% a thing. That's even science. Yeah.
How about a live Christmas tree in your living room?
That was my next one. That fresh pine, little full, a lot of sap. That's a great smell. That's why they put air fresheners in that shape. Right now, those are a little aggressive, and they smell like that. Fake pine isn't as good, but the real pine is delightful. Delightful smell right there. How about just generally, how about vanilla? The smell of vanilla.
I'm trying to place it. I mean, I definitely know that it's a fine smell, but I wouldn't have had it high on my list.
You would know it. Like, obviously, like a vanilla candle, those can be a little bit much. But I'm telling you, like, you would, like, when you're making cookies, not you personally, but if someone is, and like that little bottle of vanilla opens up and you catch a whiff of it, it's in a lot of, I feel like it's scented in a lot of things, whether it's like perfume or something like that. Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm a Rube and I don't know any better. But I'm telling you, vanilla is a very pleasant smell.
I'll take it. I'm not going to add it to my list. I'll take it. We got a tweet here from someone saying that as well. Mike says popcorn, freshly popped popcorn.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Or movie theater popcorn? Hell yeah. Kelsey says, Grant, that's one of the weirdest lists I've ever heard, puppy breath and gasoline. Well, when said together, that is kind of weird. But hey, that was the list, I guess, that I came out with. Wookiee of the Year says, the 20-yard radius outside of a Popeyes has to make the team photo. You know what? Hungry driving by like a Popeyes or a McDonald's or one of these places that's just cooking a bunch of stuff with grease. Oh, that's a great smell. Earl says, did I just hear that right? Great smells list. Freshly baked brownies one, gasoline two. People are not feeling that at all, I guess. Am I alone? Yeah. I've always thought that was a super popular smell.
No, you're not alone, but like you're not alone on not putting milk on cereal, or you're not alone in thinking pie's bad. Or you're not alone in, you know, any of the other million takes that you've got, you'll find another port in the storm.
Another gas.
But I don't think it's a common opinion. Yeah. I mean, some people like that smell, and I get it. It feels like you're outside. There's a memory associated with it. You know, like my first time feeling independent, I'm getting gas in the car that was my car. That was really exciting for me as a teenager.
It's a hell of a time.
Yeah, it's fun.
Mike says, great smell non-food division, Play-Doh. That does nothing for me now, but when I was a kid, I used to get steamed up. Todd says, how about the ocean or the beach? I don't know what that smells like, really. That's a sound thing for me. It's
salt air.
Visual, and I guess so. I mean, I can kind of get it, but I don't know that it's strong for me. He says the boardwalk with all the fried goodness everywhere. That's a great one. Or like we're at Nats Park or a boardwalk or
funnel
whatever,
cake,
and they just
turn
down those fryers, you know, funnel cake and French fries. You get the old oil that's been – they're too long, probably, like burning. Oh, that's a great smell.
So the I don't need the sunscreen smell. That's not special. And like that's part of it. I mean, that's that Seinfeld episode where Jerry's like, people take showers so they don't smell like the beach. Jerry, it's a great book. I mean, they've got that one in there where Kramer's cologne where he wants to smell like the beach. But that salt air smell, it's subtle, but it is very delightful.
If you want to send us smells that you like, you could do that at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny.
Send us the smells.
I think we're better off not taking calls on this because it could get weird. But on Twitter, we can pick and choose what we see and what we like. Sean Kelly joins us next. He is a former Washington National, longtime Major League reliever. We'll ask him what he'd be thinking about his teammates if they were not going to be playing this season. Also, I want to know if he's Team Gasoline is a good smell or not. You're listening to the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7. The Fan tweets are rolling in at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny. We just randomly put together our list of best smells because Allison's baking some brownies today during the show, and that's definitely at the top of my list. Richmond John says fresh kicks. He says Jordans, but just in general, new shoe smell is a great smell. Wes says the smell of a baseball mitt. That is a great, great smell.
Perfect.
And then I was all excited, Danny, because I finally had someone who agreed with gasoline, but then the rest of his tweet made me say, okay, I'm just wrong. I need to reassess. He said, I'm with you on the gasoline. I'll one-up you, though. Skunk. I don't know why. As long as it's not on me and it's very brief. He likes the smell of skunk. That is a wacky bit. And that guy is obviously a crazy person.
Yes, it is.
I'm not going to claim him. He's not with me. But, wow, that's an amazing tweet. Let's get to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Welcome onto the show, our buddy Sean Kelly. Pitched in the big leagues for many years, was a national good friend of the show. We once made a bet with him that if Lamar Jackson won the Heisman Trophy, we'd give him cowboy boots, and I'm sure he's wearing those cowboy boots.
He's wearing them right now for the call.
Right now as he talks to us. What's up, Sean?
Well, I'd be wearing them if I had them, but, yeah, so I just got flip-flops on for now.
Did you lose them?
You're still waiting for those, are you? Or what happened?
Still waiting, yeah. Yeah, they must be on layaway or something.
We sent them.
You must have moved. You didn't get your address, yeah.
Oh, I must have moved.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It has to be.
All right, we'll figure something out one day.
I texted you and said, on the spot, like 2 minutes before you came on, I said, we need your list of your top five smells. And I'm not going to go over the list that you sent me, which is X-rated and hilarious. But
I want to
know
your... banned from social media.
You'd be banned, and we'd get fired, and that wouldn't be good for anyone. So give me your G-rated, radio-friendly top five smells list.
Well, I heard what you said coming back out of the break, so I'd have to put on my honorable mention the gasoline. I'm with you on that one.
Yes!
When I was a kid, I loved the smell of gasoline.
Yeah.
So I'd have now the skunk, I don't know about that. It's disgusting, but
yeah, that's a weird thing. Everyone's giving me a hard time for gasoline, Sean. They're saying like
my mom used to be like, hey, get away. I'd be sniffing the gas as going in the car when I was a little kid. Maybe that explains a lot. Do you care if I give them to you backwards so there's more suspense? Can I go 5 to 1?
Please
I think
do.
That's the way to do it. Yeah.
That's the way to do
it. Okay. So number 5, I even wrote them down real quick so I didn't forget. Number 5 would be sitting by like a campfire, like the smell of like the wood burning.
Oh yeah. So good.
That'd be my number 5. Number 4 would be funfetti cake in the oven. It has to be funfetti cake. Just better smell coming out of the oven.
Is funfetti, is that any kind of like the vanilla cake that has all the...
It's basically just the vanilla cake with all the little colorful dots in it.
Yeah, that's
so
a good
one. Like,
vanilla.
It's not, they're not sprinkles. It's like small, like whatever.
No, it's
like,
not sprinkles. It's like some kind of little like dye or coloring in there.
Yeah.
It's just
like there's atoms, and then there's like elements of an atom. So it's like the quark.
It's like fetti that's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Exactly. So my number 3 would be the smell of like a baby after a bath. Obviously, because we have a younger one, and so when she gets out of the bath, and you put like the little nighttime lotion on her and wash her hair, like it's just a great.
I'm gonna
smell.
Tell you right now, I got a 14-month-old baby. If you're a dad, you know exactly what Sean Kelly's talking
exactly.
about.
That's exactly. Right. If you're not, you're probably thinking I'm crazy.
Right. If you're not a parent, that's the weirdest answer ever. But if you
are, now
like,
I'm just weird.
Yeah, good answer though.
Number 2 would be my grandma's old basement. There was something about it that just when I was a kid, it was one of my favorite places to go. And I don't know, there's certain places I'll walk in and I got a strong nose palate, if that's what it's called. But like I'll pick up scents in random places and be like, ooh, that reminds me of my grandmother's old basement. And it just makes me feel
like
at home.
Old kind of dingy basement, old person house?
Yeah, it
was
wasn't it like moldy, like it wasn't like moldy mothball, like formaldehyde old. But it was just like old wood and just, I don't know, the carpet or what. I don't know what it was, but it just.
A cabin style? That,
yeah,
kind of cabin style. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then my number 1 answer, drum roll, please. My wife's sweaty armpits after the gym. I don't know why, but I just, it gets me going.
That can't be serious.
Is that G-rated?
kind of. I don't know, but. You're doing a bit.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just go with the new car smell then.
Yay!
New car
Sean
smell.
Kelly, everybody.
But hold on. I'm not joning because it's like inappropriate to say on the radio. I'm joning. I now don't know if you're being serious or you just wanted to make me laugh.
I'm actually being serious, and I don't know why. Sometimes I scratch my head and think less of myself, but I don't know. She comes home from the gym and she raises her arm. She's like, "Hey, smell." And I love it.
Danny. Me saying gasoline
it's our gross little thing.
It's now 100% okay and normal, right?
I'd like a window into Sean Kelly, please. And it's open. Whoa.
That is Hall of Fame. You know what this is? We're like sitting in the bullpen right now, and Kelly's just
This is straight bullpen talk, and we better change the subject because it's just going to get worse.
Yes, we will change the subject. It would be very awkward if we just said, all right, Sean, thanks for the time.
Thanks for the show. We'll catch up to you next time.
Yeah, exactly.
This is top 6, 20 runs already on the board, a long game, and that's what we just got.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's talk ball for a second, though. We got a couple minutes left with our guy Sean Kelly, who we were supposed to send cowboy boots, and we didn't. And I don't know how we get back on track, but we'll try.
If you have a,
you are. You will always be our pal. If you have a teammate who says they're not going to play amid the coronavirus, but you are, and you're going to put yourself and your family kind of on the line, how do you think that's going to go over in the clubhouse? Is anybody going to have any animosity, do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, are people going to think things, or are things going to get said? Maybe, but I think you have to take it case by case, and you have to look at people's circumstances. And you know, I kind of been following along the last few days as some people have come out, and like I totally understand, you know, Zimmerman and you know what, you know, I and maybe it's biased because I know him as a person and a friend, but you understand it. You know, his mother's at high risk and with MS, and he you know, he's got a new baby at home, and he's not getting any younger, and you know, he's got his World Series title, and there's a lot of factors that factor into it. And I think you have to take it one by one, and just, you know, I don't think anyone should really judge or get on anyone for making a decision that they feel best is for their family when you're talking about something that you know, could be as serious as that. So I don't think there'll be an issue. Could there be some people, you know, say whatever, make a joke here or there, probably, but in reality, it's that's up to an individual, and you're not in their shoes, and you're not in their family. And I also think the flip side of that is no one should be judged for trying to play. If they want to play and the owners say it's good and the cities are fine and the governors and whoever says, you know, the parks are open and baseball can go on, then I don't think, you know, adversely that anyone should be judged for wanting to take the risk and wanting to play the game that they've worked their whole life to play and get back on the field.
Well, Sean, you mentioned the owners, and Ryan Zimmerman's chronicle that he was doing for the AP, there's a whole paragraph in there that didn't seem by accident, right? Where there's like, we're taking the risk. The owners, they're not traveling. They're not doing anything. They're just in their luxury boxes and just kind of hanging out. How much of that is a factor for you guys? I mean, you know, from the outside looking in, it wasn't exactly singing Kumbaya. It wasn't a Disney movie where everyone breaks into song and everyone's happy with what just happened in terms of the negotiation. How much of a factor is that for you guys?
Well, I think, I mean, obviously that got hairy, and probably the you know, the average Joe in public doesn't probably even know how probably heated it got behind scenes. But yeah, I mean, that's one thing that I think the common fan doesn't, you know, I read a lot of these comments about, you know, players that weren't agreeing, and they were, you know, you get the comments about, oh, you know, they just need to shut up. You know, they're making millions of dollars. Who cares? Blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of other factors that go into it. There's principles. No one's been in those players' shoes and those guys. And you're right. They're not the ones probably taking. They can be wherever they want to be. They don't have to travel. They don't have to put their families at risk. They don't have to leave. You know, some of these people with young kids are probably going to leave their families for a couple months and probably just tell their families, hey, why don't you just hunker down at home, honey? I'll see you in a few months. You know, unless things change or get a lot better and you want to fly out and see me, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors, and I think baseball needs to go on. I think society and the world needs something out there, needs a distraction, and baseball's always been great for that. But yeah, I mean, there is. I totally get what he did and that what he's doing in that comment, and I think he's rightfully so. I would stand behind him in that.
Sean, 11 years in the majors, parts of 8 seasons in the AL, and just 4 in the NL. So, you know, maybe you'd lean toward AL rules, but you seem like such an old school guy. What are your thoughts on the DH in both leagues, starting a, you know, runner at second for extra innings, some of the experimenting we're going to be doing this year?
Yeah, I'm kind of I don't mind it. You know, being a reliever, once I saw that run wouldn't be earned, I was a little more for it. But you know, I think
for a reliever.
It's very important. Every run matters, but I think that it's a big deal. You know, I think the DH is something that was coming. I think it was inevitable. I think as a younger player, kind of not necessarily a purist, but kind of like the rules and like the way I grew up watching baseball and the different styles. And I thought interleague added a fascinating thing to a game of seeing some of the AL teams and NL parks, NL teams and AL parks, and playing by each other's rules. But I think it creates, you know, you're going to have your pitchers because pitchers are out there to pitch. But I also think that, you know, you're creating 15 other jobs for veteran hitters that can go land somewhere that maybe can't, you know, throw and run like they used to or whatever, or they've aged a little bit and they don't need to play every day and they need some days in the lineup but not on their feet. So I think it's something that's probably better from the player's perspective. I am totally for anything that ends extra innings. I wouldn't mind if you just played a normal 10th inning and then just called it a tie and give both teams a half game. I mean, you play 162 of them. A couple of ties throughout the year is going to be more beneficial than running some kid out there for four or five innings, then he gets sent down to AAA or gets hurt, or now you're depleted for three more days going forward. So I don't mind, you know, the 5 hour midnight 17 inning game, like that, no one wants to be there. The team that wins or loses, everybody loses when you leave at 12:30 at night and you got to get on a plane. Nobody's a real winner there. So I don't mind. I've never been a big fan of like quick change and changing fundamental rules, but I don't mind something that eliminates playing 5, 6, 7, 8 extra innings that like I said, that no one really wants to be there for or pitch in.
Ties, the armpit smell of sports rules. Thank you, Sean.
Right. But you know, okay. So like, let me back it up. If this is football and there's 16 games, there should absolutely be no ties, but we're talking about a normal 162 game season. A few ties here, there's not the end of the world. I mean, I'd be for a home run derby. Like, hey, line up your five best hitters, pull out your batting coach.
Hockey,
you know, probably people thought a shootout in hockey was crazy at one point, but how fun. I mean, the hockey games I've been to in the regular season, I'm sitting there hoping it's a tie because I want to see a shootout. So, I mean, how fun would like a home run derby shootout be? But I think it's too late for that. I think they made their mind up.
Sean, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it, dude. Miss you. Hope you're well.
Hey, I miss you too.
We miss your smell. There's Sean Kelly on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Got some breaking news on the Wizards front. Bradley Beal talking right now. Might be surprised with what he said. We'll get to that next. Final few minutes of Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Final segment. Each and every day we go back in time with the Nats. I'll let you know we've got a nugget on Bradley Beal and the Wizards you'll want to hear just a couple of moments away. But right now, because it's July 1st, 2020, you got to go back to July 1st of 2016 to find this date in Nats history, a day in which the bullpen pitched 7 scoreless innings and the Nats won an extra inning game for the 15th consecutive try dating back to 2015. Ben Revere with a shining moment. The Reds are coming. Revere wins the game.
Here's the 1-0. Swinging a fly ball, deep right center field. Bruce going back, on the run, way back toward the warning track. It's over his head and off the wall. And Espinosa will score the game-winning run. Ben Revere out by second is about to be mobbed. Max Scherzer gets to him first. The Nationals win 3-2 in 14 innings. 6 wins in a row.
That team somehow won 95 games that year with a whole bunch of underperformances. Bryce Harper hitting 240, Ben Revere hitting 217, Jason Worth hitting 244, Espinosa 209, Zim 218, and yet that was a playoff team. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, stunning. Speaking of playoff teams, how about this news for the Wizards? Bradley Beal's on a Zoom call with reporters right now. Says he has yet to make a decision about whether or not he will play in Orlando. Remember, John Wall, we already knew, wasn't playing. Davis Bertans, not going to play. What if Bradley Beal doesn't show up for the Wizards either for their stretch run of games here? That would add a lot less intrigue to a Wizards team. Probably doesn't really deserve to be there anyway, but they needed another Eastern Conference club, so they got in.
Right.
But if no Beal, I mean, I know the diehard Wizards fans will say, good, we don't want to waste his legs or, you know, make him work a whole lot of minutes in this makeshift couple of games at the end of the year. Fine, but it does take away from the excitement of seeing the Wizards again substantially.
For me, it does. And listen, I didn't want to kill him for 40-plus minutes a night for meaningless games, for empty calories, but I would love to see him back on the court again just for my own selfish enjoyment. But his point was, I thought, a good one. And he understands the playing would take away from the social movement that's going on. He didn't feel that way, but he understood it. For him, his point was, we stopped playing basketball because of COVID-19. There's still COVID-19. That's a bigger consideration than people are making it.
Yeah, which I totally understand, and I'm not going to judge anyone. I mean, the cases around the country are spiking, and players are going to have fears. It's going to happen, so he's still going to make his decision. More on that next. Chad Dukes versus the world. Thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.